One of our messages was about counseling and secular psychology replacing biblical counsel. That was yesterday afternoon. And one writer said that the evangelical church has sold its position of counseling people to a mess of psychological pottage, you know, taken from Esau, selling his birthright for a bowl of lentil soup. And I feel this past week what happened was we were together. And when we are together, there are gifts of the Spirit that function, and in that ministry is counseling, divine or godly counsel. So I want to use this text tonight, Romans 15, and go from verse 1 to verse 7 with this in mind. The 11 o'clock service this morning was very good. That was from Psalm 19. And I just feel that what we're saying is very important in the days that we are living. Because some of us are students of history. We're not scholars of it, but we have lived in countries where we have followed through what has happened tragically in Eastern Europe with the communism. The ideology, we know people who have been through it, that grew up in it. We understand the mentality of a totalitarian regime. It's not far from our understanding when we read about Nazism and what happened, and dissidents were imprisoned or murdered. People that resisted, they resisted their propaganda, did not agree with it. Those people were dealt with harshly many times in history. The United States of America doesn't have that tradition or that history. We have a very open and free population that can express dissidence or I don't approve of that, I don't accept that, I don't believe in that. Keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on that. And the difference, the advantage we have in this context is that we have the Spirit of truth. And I have to tell the truth. It's in you. You have to tell the truth to yourself. You have to sleep with yourself. You have to tell the truth to your children, to your friends. You have to tell the truth. I cannot lie. I do not accept and believe what may be propagated by the government or by the media. I don't believe that, period. That's the way it is. Now, the issue here tonight is that we find ourselves healthy. How did we get healthy? But by the Spirit of God, the gift of regeneration, and fellowship with each other in the truth. That's how we are healthy. Instruction is a way of life. And it's not my opinion. You didn't come here to listen to me. You came here to learn the Bible. You did not come here. This isn't a social gathering of mutual admiration. This is deeper. This is we are seeking God. Even if it hurts, we seek God. We want the truth. We want the anointing of God to lead us in our life. Now, I witnessed that this past week with the pastors, with the body. And this is very expensive. It's very expensive for this to happen. It costs a lot. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. And when Christ came, this is our example, he is in a world where there are many lies, and he's telling the truth, and he's getting in trouble as he's telling the truth, but he cannot help it. Psalm 40, I did not hold back from telling the truth in the great congregation. I love righteousness and I hate iniquity. And this is what he said in the prophet said about him. So we are blessed people. We are blessed people in life, and we are free people. We are free. We are free to assemble. We are free to have a Bible. I had a friend who was in the Soviet Army, and he was stationed in Egypt, and he had a library. And when the military moved back, his particular group moved back to the Soviet Union, the authorities went through his library, and he could take every book except one. And that was the Bible that he had acquired. All the books could go back to the Soviet Union except the Bible. Do you realize it was illegal? Do you realize The Wizard of Oz was illegal? And 1984, the book 1984 is illegal in the Soviet Union. Okay, so you got to realize that we have a history, we have something to say that's very much in our hearts, and it is our freedom to be who we are, to believe as we believe, to embrace it and tell the truth. It's so precious and important to us. Psalm 51, verse 6, I must speak the truth in my inner part, deep in my soul. I have to go to bed with myself. I have to stand before God. I have to confess my sin. I have to bring my life before God, and I have to in good conscience. Another case, one of our new believers in Kazakhstan, this is some years ago, she was brought up in a Muslim family, and she talked to me, my family is against me, I am in a lot of trouble with my family. I said, why? Because I became a Christian. And I said, what does the constitution of your government say in Kazakhstan? Do you have a freedom of conscience? Can you believe based on conscience? She said, yes. I said, that's the issue. You have to stand before God with what you believe. And if it's Christ is what you believe, then you with good conscience, even your government is saying with good conscience, then you have the right to that. And that's very simple. So with this in mind, turn to Romans 15 and verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. So could somebody deny the Lord? Could somebody say, I do not believe, I believe in Jesus, but not anymore because I don't want to go to prison. I don't believe in, I deny the Lord. Yes, somebody could. Who did that in the Bible? Turn to your neighbor and ask him. What? Yeah. Peter, the apostle Peter. When Peter denied the Lord, was he weak? Yes, he was weak. He denied the Lord and he went out and he wept. Why did he weep? He had promised, I will not, never, never do that. I will never. And Jesus said, yes, you will. Yes, you will. No, I will die with you. Let us go and die with him. I think Thomas said that. But he didn't. He wept. He went out and wept. That happens to Christians. It happens to Christians that we We also lie. We also fail. We sin. We stumble. We are weak. But during the convention this past week, I didn't feel that weakness. Personally, I didn't feel the weakness. And when I was in fellowship, I didn't really see that weakness. I saw strength. I saw an anointing of God. I saw edification. I saw people talking with each other on the deck, on the sidewalk, in the pastors' meetings, the ladies' meetings. I saw godly people ministering quietly, beautifully listening to each other, and in the heart, you know, supporting, I am for you. It's in our heart. It's not necessarily these words, but I'm trying to say something, that if God made you strong, and if God has built us up and edified us, that's good so that we can help weak people. And by the way, you and I that may be strong today may be weak tomorrow. And we may stumble next week and have our problem. But what's the nature of this relationship? But it is the Lord wants his church to be built up so that we can help each other. Help each other. And this is really what I want to say. Okay, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. And I feel that's what happened this past week. Like people were here, and it was more than me and my life. It is here because it's the body. Yeah, I want to lay down my life for the brethren. I want to just be around my sisters and brothers to help and support because we have a worldwide mission. People in other parts of the world are watching us and they are following, and we have some place in the plan of God. We are not people pleasers. We're not looking at anything other than just asking daily God to lead us as a people in a troubled, in a world that needs a message, needs instruction. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. What's the plan? It's that in our hearts, I would like my neighbor to be helped. I would like a child to be loved. I would like a dad to be encouraged and keep at it. Yeah, I'm developing this message just about dads and sons and daughters. And I realize how the world makes fun of fatherhood. It's part of the spirit of the age that a father is a nobody. And many of these ideas, but a quiet, loving father who is just there faithfully providing and teaching hard work and morality and listening, and controls his anger or frustration, has a word in season. How does he have a word in season to his son? He has a word in season because he received a word. He has received a ministry, so he has a ministry. Isn't that good? He tells the truth to his son. He tells the truth to him. And he instructs him about manhood. I remember when I was a little boy, my mom said, do you want a magazine like a Boy's Life? I think the name of the magazine was. Anybody remember that? Yeah. Boy's Life. I go, yeah, sure, anything free, whatever. You want to give it to me? So I got this magazine about Boy Scouts and boys tying knots and boys doing things. And it was like good because I want to be a man. I want to be a man. I want to learn about building a fire, a campfire, doing things, building a tree fort, a tree house. Little rules in our family, like you never hit a woman, you never hit a girl. You can beat up guys, but you can never touch a girl. Like never, ever. Your sisters, no, ever, ever happens. These are just little thoughts, little ideas that I think there's a place for instruction regarding life. That instruction, that like premarital sex is another thing. Where do the kids ever hear about the why we do not do that? Why you have sex after marriage? Why that is? How are children and teenagers ever going to learn these things if there is no instruction? And why do we do it? But because we want their edification. Look at verse 2 again. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. You know, son, I want the best for you. My daughter, I remember, like, as teenage girls, I go, you are fine ladies. You are ladies. You are precious young women. You are fine, like, women. You are precious. I would tell them that. I would just love them and just tell them that. And that's, like, a simple thing. Teenagers, children, how many elderly people need edification? How many people that are teachers, need their gas tank filled up by receiving teaching? How many businessmen need teaching and to know God and walk with God and also suffer a little bit? Maybe that might happen because I am taught and I learned this. Verse 3, it says, for even Christ pleased not himself. Well, I thought it was all about me. No, I've learned something else. I've learned it's not about me. I want God. I want God in my life. Right? Let's see what will happen as we walk with God. You know, you can't say, I'm going to walk with God for a couple months and see what happens. You can do that. But you can also say, I want to walk with God and see what happens. Like, how, what happens? What does he do? How does he reward us? It says that if we're without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he that believes that God is and a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. In other words, there's something, as I seek him, there's some reward that happens. Can't we say, many of us, that somehow we have seen his reward in some measure, some peace, you know, some love, life, faith. Verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. The reproach, the opposition against God by sinful people fell on me. Verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. That means our whole Bible that was written before the book of Romans, everything was written for our learning. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Moses, the Solomon, Proverbs, Psalms, history, Chronicles, Kings, Ecclesiastes, Isaiah, all the prophets, the minor prophets, everything was written for our learning. We realize that God is not mocked, that he's a living God. He's not, we don't fool around. He's not, we're not tempting him. It's written for our learning. All the good things that we learn from our Bible is written before so that we become a student of these things. We are instructed by them. Verse 4, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures. Takes time, patience in the scripture. Hours, days, months, years, listening, you coming here, patience in the scriptures, like comfort, patience, learning. Why did Jehoshaphat have a problem? Who was Hezekiah? Why was Uzziah? Why did he become a leper? What did Isaiah really say as a prophet? I love the minor prophets because they're little gems in there. Amos and Joel and Micah. I love before I go to bed. Sometimes I just go like read some pages through there, and it's a comfort to me. It's teaching. And just something to think about as we fall asleep. The result is that the body could be edified. The body is edified. People are taught. They are instructed. They learn to hate sin. What a miracle that is. I hate sin. I hate a lie, Psalm 101, David said. I hate a lie. And those that turn away, they will not cleave to me. And I think of like duct tape, you know. Well, you know, just kind of like you might not even know it's there, like on your back piece of duct tape, and it's cleaving to you. And that person went away. They left. They went away. They're gone. And the fact that they're gone is cleaving to me. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. Well, I just take the duct tape off. It will not cleave to me. Because that person's life, that's their decision. That's not mine. That's their decision. That's not my life. I have this edification that happens because you and I are, you know, growing. God wants us to grow. But we will. Okay, so go to the next verse, please. Verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation. What's the meaning of consolation? It's a reward. That the God of patience and that one that's taken care of you. The God of patience and the one that's rewarding you, the one that's visiting you, the one that's building you up. I think this COVID year, this has been a trial run, just kind of good weight room exercise and getting in training for the Olympics, you know. This is it. Come on, guys. We're in it. Let's go. Man, we're assembling. Forsake not the assembling as the manner of some is. Isn't that good? It's time to get back to church. It's time to assemble. It's time to 65 million Americans, is it, that have the vaccine already? And we hit herd immunity back in November, December. We've had it. We had COVID. We've been there. Maybe get it again. Get another immunity. My body will get built up against it. Yeah, come on, bring it. Hey, that's not an issue. This is an issue. What's in our hearts? Are we edified? Are we ready to train our children and grandchildren in the faith? Are we one day going to lay hands on young people that are going to go with a message and the Spirit to edify people in South America and edify them and build them up? And will those strong be able to minister to the weak? That's a good word. Us that stumble or are troubled. I'm intellectually troubled. I had that problem as a Christian. I had things that troubled me about the faith. I had things that I wasn't sure about. I had to figure. I couldn't do it. I couldn't really answer all my questions. I couldn't really understand the whole thing. And so I learned to live by faith. And the Bible spoke to me. Then I understood it through the Bible. And I understood what Jesus said through the Bible, through the Holy Spirit, to build me up in my faith. And then I'm in the body. And I'm saying, hey, we don't know everything, but we really love each other. Hey, I don't know the answer to this question. Nobody does. But these people have got a smile. I'll take the people that got the smile. They've got the faith. They're talking about Jesus. Unto us which believe, Jesus is precious, irreplaceable, invaluable, unique. I was in Hungary one time, and they said to me in the village, we were evangelizing, they said, in the village there's Mozart's piano. And I go, wow, I don't know really what that means. They go, do you want to go see it? I go, no, it's okay. I said, how many pianos does he have? Yeah, they didn't know. But there's a museum with his piano. And then I was thinking, that piano is precious because Mozart is gone. And there'll never be a piano that he plays. Right? That one is played. To some people, that's precious. It's irreplaceable. You can't reproduce it. It'll never be again. It's just precious. To some people, that's precious, that piano. And that's like Jesus to us. There's nobody like him. He is precious. We have him. God is with us. We have strength from God. Go to the next one, please. It says, verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another. Like-minded one toward another. According to Christ Jesus. I feel that way. We see our brothers from Miami and Tampa and different places, Chicago and Marlboro, and we just sit down, have a time together. We laugh a lot. We talk a lot. We care a lot. We weep a little bit. Maybe I saw tears this past week. And we are like-minded one to another. You can make it. You can make it. Let's say a Christian falls down, and a young girl, let's say we said it this morning, young girl gets pregnant. She's a Christian, and she does something as sinful. It's wrong. We know that. But it happens, and she's pregnant now, and she needs to be loved, encouraged, forgiven, built up. She, not only do we restore her, but we walk with her in it. We walk with her in her pregnancy. We walk with her in letting her know, loving her, because you are forgiven, that's one thing, but body life means that we are the body. And there are many members and many gifts that are able to edify one another and be like-minded. Now, wait a minute. I put her down in my mind. Oh, shoot, what happened to her? It's unbelievable. Look at what happened. I'm not like-minded. I put her down. And that happens in church life. That cannot happen in body life. The Spirit of God doesn't say that. The Spirit of God picks up, restores, and builds up and carries her through in the pregnancy, the birth of the child, the next phase, whatever it is, the care. And I got to say that our fellowship is that way. That's how I see it. That's how I watch. That's how I believe. And I know that, but it takes instruction, doesn't it? It takes some provoking us in our hearts and minds, because this is bigger than just people. This is a spiritual life where we are edified, and we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. So please, we could say to folks around the world, come and be with us, because God is helping us, and we are members, and let us go to them. We're looking forward to the summer and what will God do, and keep it in prayer. We don't want to assume anything but walk in prayer and just see what God will do in helping and building up and ministering. So in the worldwide sense, and then locally. Two more verses, verse 6. That you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive you one another. Listen to this part. As Christ also received us to the glory of God. How do we receive one another? As Christ has received us. I'll never forget one experience I had. This is back in the communist days. I was traveling to Czechoslovakia from Poland, and the borders were very tight, they were very close. You could stay there for days even at the borders as they were checking. And I was invited to preach at a church, a church that was underground. I mean, I think it was officially registered, but they had suffered persecution. The authorities were very strong on it. And they got me in there. I was living in Finland at the time. And I got in there, and I loved that whole thing, you know, like we're doing something illegal. It was interesting. Guys, these people, it was their call. If they invited me, it was what they were doing. I wasn't pushing myself, but they had heard things about us in Finland, the revival in Finland, and the work of God in Finland. So we were invited. A Polish pastor did it too, and it was through him that we end up at this border town on the other side. And our contact was very interesting. I love these people. And there was a pastor, his name was Otto Rusnuk. He had a little boy, little son, little guy. And they sent people to the border to meet me and bring me to the place. And we preached there. And it was a very, very good time, and very a lot of love and the Spirit of God there. And this is 1979. And then, you know, when we moved to Hungary, because we were praying that we could go to that part of the world, if communism ended, that we could go to this part of the world. So we moved to Hungary in 1990, and that little boy was growing up, and he came to our Bible school in Budapest from Czechoslovakia. David Rusnak. It was precious because I loved his dad. His dad loved me. You know, we loved each other. And somehow, even time and distance didn't have anything. It was something more. And we were received as Christ received us, so we receive each other. Not with suspicion, not with doubt, but with love. There's something about Christians, the way we are, we recognize each other. the way we are is like there's something about us that we have something going on that is from God, our Heavenly Father, and He has put us together when we don't even know each other. And it's edifying. It's called body life. And there are many gifts in the body, much happening in the body, many things. That's why we call it like therapy. This is like a psychological therapy to be with people that love you. I just come in to the room and I sit and I listen to hear what God has to say to my heart. And I'm with people that love me, receive me as Christ has received me. You can think of the Apostle Peter denying the Lord 3 times, Jesus going to get him and receive him and bring him back and restore him. And so, do you love me? Yes, I love, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, I love, feed my lambs. Do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. This is restoration. This is body life. This is for weak people, all people. This is the ministry of the body. We need it. But if the world doesn't have us, so what do they have? They have a pub, a bar room, they have an affair, they have like sexual excitement, they have money, they have a boat, they have activities, they have a league, they have a mutual admiration. Oh, you're a great guy. Yeah, you're a great guy. And then you find out in the other room, he says, that guy's a jerk. He said you were a great guy a second ago, but you're not. Hello, is that an empty life? Is that what we suffer from? Then we go to the psychiatrist or the doctor or whatever. We get some medications for our anxiety and our fears and our insecurity. And then we read psychology books to try to just, or go to the movies to try to find out who I can follow. Or a celebrity or a basketball player or somebody. I don't have a role model. I don't have a father, maybe. I don't have a role model. I don't have any instruction. I don't have any teaching. I don't have any comfort. I don't have any deep connection with people. So I'm hurting. These verses are saying that our fellowship is different from that. In my words, our fellowship is, excuse me, is therapeutic. I get helped. I get loved. I get encouraged. I get a friend. Verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minute. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the end. Verse 7 is the end. Wherefore receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Thank you, body of Christ. I have to say that I go to bed last night thinking about our week and just saying, thank you, Lord. You know, that's all. And I know you discern it, recognize it. It'll grow. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just keep coming. It'll grow. And the light will go on at different times. You know, remember that brother said, I got 2 brain cells and 1 is flashing on and off. And I'm not the smartest guy, but sometimes I get it, and it might take some time. But brothers and sisters, we have been born again and put into something, the body of Christ, that we desperately need. It will keep me from myself. It will keep me from my sinful, fleshful life to a degree. It will restore me when I fail. It will help me go all the way. It will build me up in my faith. And by the way, it's needed everywhere. Little groups of people of 10 or 5 or 15 or 30, a church with 7 people, it is needed everywhere and it grows. If God is in it, and He is, and if we seek Him, we will find Him, and we will have a ministry that will be effective, and it's very much needed. Churches are closed. People are discouraged. They turn to the world. The liquor store says, we are open to meet your needs. The liquor store, we are open, wide open. Come in. We will meet your needs. And we're saying, You can't meet my needs. You cannot meet my needs. That's a lie. You have no idea what my needs are. I don't need your filthy stuff. I don't need it. I don't care about it. I'm not tempted by it, and I'm not fighting it. I don't care about it. I want the church to be open, saying, God will meet your needs. We are open, and God will meet your needs. And he uses you and I in the ministry to help people, and they need it. Amen. Okay, so thank you for the instruction of your word, Lord, and for the body, for our great week, for the weeks coming, for just loving each other. Good songs, good words, good devotionals, good times with my son or my grandson, and good times with my friends, good times in the Lord, in the Spirit of the Lord, to good times in prayer, good times in faith, good times in prayerful thinking about the needs around us, and also telling the truth. And then someone listening to me, you haven't started your spiritual life yet because you haven't yet put your trust in Christ and turned to him. Turn to him. Just turn and believe in him. Look at the brazen serpent and you will be healed. Help, help, Lord. Forgive me. Save me. And he does. And walk by faith in him and you will know him. You will know him. You will know him in Jesus' name. Amen.